When our relationship went public, the rhetoric was that I was not good enough for everyone's beloved me to see. He can do so much better than her. She's not beautiful. She's so ugly. You know, compared to all sorts of animals, you know, she looks like a whore. Even her light skin is not even like the nice light skin. It's not like the exotic light skin. It's like that Igbo light skin. It was crazy. This confidence that I always had growing up was completely shattered.
From the runway to the boardroom, Nicole Chikwe has mastered the art of blending beauty, business, and influence. With a background in economics and finance, she's built a career that spans wellness, content creation, and entrepreneurship.
You ask me for my rate. You ask me, I'll tell you how much it is.
As the founder of the Mommy Summit, the largest conference for mothers in sub-Saharan Africa, she's redefining what it means to be a mother in today's world.
And that's how I started off the marriage, feeling like I was less than. And unfortunately, this thing I needed, he couldn't do it for me.
She's also one of the most sought-out lifestyle influencers in Nigeria, using her platform to spark meaningful conversations and create impactful experiences that inspire women to thrive. Do you feel influencers are taken seriously in Nigeria? And number two, are they paid properly?
If someone were to watch this interview, what's the one thing you'd want them to know about you?
That I'm a person trying to utilize all the gifts I have to the very end.
Okay, and so I want to kind of go back a bit, and I want to talk about, you know, your childhood. And I know you have a very close relationship with your mother, right? Mm-hmm. And so I want you to talk about how has that formed you as a person, especially in adulthood as being a mother now.
Wow. That's a very strong start.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I have a really, really close relationship with my mother. And in kind of thinking through what you said just now, I don't even know if I've really processed that, but I'm my mom's sixth child and my dad's first child. And my mom used to be married, and you know, she had other kids from her first marriage. And after her separation with her husband, you know, she started a new family with my dad, knowing that I was like a fresh start for my mother. I feel like, wow, am I going to cry? I hope not. But I feel like that made me feel like I wanted to make up for whatever, you know, loss she had faced or any struggles or any sadness or disappointments. And I think that, yes, we are really, really close. She's amazing. I love her so much. But I think that it's also made me more of a people pleaser. I think that I definitely want to help as many people as I can. And, you know, I love everyone. And I feel like I take on so much because even as a child, I felt like I had to make up for any disappointments my mom may have had. Yeah, I think, wow, that I don't even know that I've thought about that before properly until you've literally said that just now. Yeah, but that's made me, it's definitely formed me into wanting to help, wanting to perform, wanting to, you know, make you smile, wanting to make things better, sometimes at my own detriment as well. But that's the core of who I am.
Oh, I love that. Well, that's the point of this podcast, because we want to go real deep.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, at question one, it wasn't even like, oh, you know, so how's life? You know, did you go out last weekend? I was ready to give you like a rundown of like the parties I went to.
Well, as we're speaking about that, like, what's the one lesson from childhood that you learned that's influenced you today, right? Because I always talk about connecting with your inner girl, and that's the journey I'm on right now, is connecting with her and bringing that into the work that I do. Like, what's one lesson you would say you have?
From when I was a child, a lesson I would say I have. I think that irrespective of this thing that was happening with me, right, and wanting to please and wanting to help, I also was a very affirmed child. You know, I was very deeply loved by my parents. I always knew that. And that also really helped me be really confident. And, you know, that inner voice, my inner voice was largely crafted by my parents about me being able to do whatever it is I put my mind to, about being really smart and, you know, beautiful, but a person of value. And, you know, wherever I come into, I bring value into the situation. That's something that's been instilled in me since I was a child. And I think that has largely informed the way I move and navigate through the world. Even though I've had, you know, a few setbacks because, you know, life be lifing. And, you know, as you grow into adulthood and you're facing real life challenges, I still have that to fall back to, even at my lowest. And what that's helped me do was, one, it helped me be very intentional when I was picking out a life partner, because I knew that it was very important the way my parents, particularly my dad, because, you know, dads and girls, you know, hearing that from a man, I know what that did to me and did for me. And so it really made me intentionally seek out someone like that for my own daughters. And I think that that is something, a lesson that I took from my childhood, that a lot of your inner voice is formed by the things that your parents said to you when you were younger.
So I really love what you said, because this is literally the conversation me and Etche talk about all the time, how our parents shape our voice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those are the arguments we have, because I'm like, babe, that's your father's voice.
Really?
But yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Your mom's so this voice,
is,
yeah.
Yeah, so I want you to talk about it, and, you know, because I think this is perfect.
So words of affirmation wasn't something I necessarily grew up with, so... And I don't want my parents to hear this and say, oh, you're saying that you're not loved. But they loved in a different way.
Right.
And so I remember meeting Chika was when I now started to really understand, like, there's a distinction between how people are raised. Like, Chika definitely loves words of affirmation. She loves, like, quality time, physical touch, all those sort of things. Whereas my love language is acts of service.
Right.
So we were measured between your ability to read between the lines and also just acts of service. Right. And so for me, now getting older and doing therapy, you're realizing how much your childhood and how you're raised affects how you show up as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so sometimes part of even how you're going to show up as a husband, as a man, as a father, you're going to have to unlearn certain things to be able to show up as a holistic person. So
absolutely.
I loved that you grew up in a household where you were affirmed in that way, because it does really show up in adulthood too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I even want to kind of go deeper into that, is because you are also, you chose Nato C, right, as your partner. And, you know, a lot of times, especially in the early years, I imagine you guys were in the spotlight a lot. How did you handle that? You know, especially, you know, I don't know if that's what you imagined for your life, but how do you think you handled it, and how has it transitioned into you now?
Okay. Okay. So I met Nato when I was 22. Mm. I had just come back from, studying in England, did my first degree, came back to do NYSC. The plan was to do NYSC, go back to England to do my master's, and then take it from there. But then while I was back in Nigeria, I met Nato. And shout out to him, because I was ready to throw my life away. Like, I met him and I was like, okay, so this is it for me. Of course, I'm not going back to school. Why would I go back to school and leave this man here? You know, but he insisted that, you know, he knew this is something I had planned on doing, and I am going to do that master's. And he made sure that I did. So shout out to him. So as soon as I was done with my master's, we got married. But the thing is, unfortunately, and I mean, I've spoken about this a couple of times, when our relationship went public, It was a whole thing. I mean, Nato at the time was at the zenith of his career, you know, it's massive, huge hip hop star, not just in Nigeria, but in Africa. And I guess people had different expectations of the kind of person that he would choose to date. And I think maybe people wanted a, you know, like a celeb kind of, you know, flashing lights, we're stepping out. And like, I wasn't that person. I was just, to most people, I was just like, you know, like a girl next door, like any other girl. And I received a lot of vitriol when this thing came out. And the rhetoric was that I was not good enough for everyone's beloved me to see. He can do so much better than her. She's not beautiful. She's so ugly, you know, compared to like all sorts of animals. You know, she looks like a horse. She looks like a this. She looks like a that. She doesn't even have body. Even her light skin is not even like the nice light skin. It's not like the exotic light skin. It's like that Igbo light skin. It was crazy. And this was, you know, unrelenting. And it was on, you know, Twitter. It was on blogs. I mean, now it's, you know, 14 years later, and a lot of us have a lot more information regarding, you know, kind of managing your mental health mm-hmm. and, you know, staying off socials. And but at the time it was new and it was a big thing. Like that was when being on a blog was like the end of your life. Right. Now it's like, okay, 5 minutes later, something else will be on the blog. It's not really a big deal. But then it was a massive deal. And so it really crippled this confidence that I always had growing up was completely shattered. And it definitely made me super insecure. But I was also trying to manage that because I didn't want Natu to feel like, well, you know, she can't handle this, so this is not the kind of person I should be, you know? So I was mm-hmm. trying to soldier on, and it was really, really tough. And what happened is we eventually did get married, which was fantastic. And, you know, it did feel like a little bit of a validation, you know, like I still won in the end because mm-hmm. irregardless, he still married me. But unfortunately, I did take all of this mm-hmm. into a marriage. And that's how I started off the marriage, feeling like I was less than, feeling like, you know, he was better than me and I was unworthy of this relationship. And then now getting pregnant, like a month into the marriage, and then now trying to navigate motherhood while still figuring out how to be a wife and carrying this load of feeling less than. And the thing with that is what I had hoped is, you know, like when I was younger, and I know it would have been the same for you because you are a Nigerian woman. Mm-hmm. Being married, you know, is the pinnacle of everything. Once a man can marry you, then life has started for you and everything is going to be okay. And that is the ultimate validation that you need as a Nigerian woman, irregardless of any career accomplishments, irregardless of any educational achievements. And I went into the marriage thinking, okay, this is now going to validate me. It's going to wipe away every tear. It's going to now give me the security that I had completely lost in the last 2 years of dating him. And this is what it was going to be for me. And so I'm looking to NATO to now, okay, fix it. You did this, so you now need to fix this. And of course he didn't understand, you know, and there a lot of things were happening within me internally that he just could not understand. And also to be fair to him, I really wasn't as open when we were dating about that this is how much this thing is affecting me. I feel like I'm going to die. Like, I feel like I'm letting my parents down. Like, I feel like I'm embarrassing my family, you know, because I was just trying to soldier on. And then we get into a marriage and I'm dealing with all these things and he did not understand. And so for me, the first couple of years were really beautiful because we had our kids, really beautiful because Nato is truly my best friend, just best decision of my life. But it was very trying. And unfortunately, you know, this thing I needed, he couldn't do it for me. It's something that I had to kind of figure out by myself while navigating marriage, while navigating motherhood with two small children. So yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like that was a really long-winded question answer to the question. No. But that's how I kind of went into the most, you know, important phase of my life, really. Because as you know, picking a partner is the most important decision you'll ever make. Mm. And sadly, you know, that is kind of how that went for me. But that's why I'm so passionate about women and supporting women and helping them self-actualize, whether it's in a marriage or not, because it's something you're going to need to figure out. And trying to figure that out on top of figuring out all these other roles that you have to take on can be extremely challenging. It takes a lot to do.
You know, first of all, I just want to say thank you for being vulnerable, because I feel like so many people need to hear what you just said, because right. especially in our society for women, right? It is literally, no one sees you until a ring is on your finger. Like, you're on the ground until a ring is on the finger. So right. to hear that I've reached this pinnacle and still I had to love myself.
Yeah.
That is a very, you know, important message. So I really appreciate you sharing that. But how did you get through it? Like, how did you, because now I see you as this confident woman, this amazing woman. I mean, we got to go into your influencer life and how you've set the tone.
Right.
So I want to know, how did you get there?
Okay. So I was in a deep, you know, deep, dark hole. And it was very difficult to talk about it because people didn't understand. It's like, I'll be trying to talk to someone about it. And it's like, but you're married to me, so see, what the hell are you talking about? You're depressed how? You know, you have two kids. How can you be depressed? But there was an emptiness, like I said, that NATO could not, and nobody could fill for me. You know, I actually started having kids. Well, you know, I had my first child and I was, you know, really happy. NATO and I really wanted to get started on a family as soon as possible. And so within like first month, we're pregnant. It was fantastic. And I'm like, okay, I'm on my way now, right? Because I've now married. I'm now pregnant. This is fantastic. I'm doing excellent. And when I have this child, I would now be complete. And then on top of that, you know, at 3 months, I go and do a scan. I'm having a boy. Bingo. Like, you see, I'm just like, you see, everything's working checklist. Out. Like, I'm just, boy, first time round. You know, like, yes. So this is it. I'm fast tracking this healing. Like, yeah. Once I just have this son now, it's going to be amazing. And then I have my son and it's literally like crickets. And I'm like, I don't understand. Why am I still empty and sad? I was like, okay, you know what? It's because I only have one child. So if I now have another, I would have now gone from having a husband and a child to a husband and children, yeah. right? Then that's when the magic is going to happen. Everything's going to come together. I'm now sorted. So I start trying to have a baby like literally 3 months after I have my son. So I'm pregnant with my daughter 5 months after I have my son, right? And I'm like, okay, cool, this is great. I do a scan, I'm having a girl.
Balance.
Balance. Yes. You see, I'm so smart. I figured this thing out. I'm now about to have my daughter. Yeah. This is fantastic. I have my daughter. Crickets. I'm looking at the son. I'm looking at the daughter, I'm looking at the husband, I'm looking at the house, I'm looking at my car, and nothing is giving me the validation I had hoped for. And then I would try, like I said, I'll try to talk to people. Who do I even talk to about it? My parents, my friends. Again, all of this, mind you, like I said, I met Nita when I was 22. I was married when I was 24. I had my son 25. I had my daughter 26. So everything had been going at breakneck speed for me. At 26, you know, most of my friends were not married, let alone married with two kids. Who am I going to talk to? And so a lot of time was spent with myself. Of course, Nito is also busy. He's on the road. He's this, he's that for work and stuff. And I'm now like, okay, what do I do? So at the time, I was a stay-at-home mom, and it's also always something I wanted to do as well, just spend like foundational years with my kids and take it from there. And so I've always liked writing, even though like I studied economics. So my first degree is in economics, my second degree is in finance. I've always felt like I was a creative deep down, but I didn't really know what that would look like. But I knew that I wanted to write. So what happened was I'd always had Instagram. Well, as soon as Instagram came out, I had Instagram, but my page was private because of all like the online harassment I was getting and the bullying and the messaging, whatever. So my page was private. And then I just started posting. I was like, well, if I'm going to write, I should probably write about something that is happening to me presently. Like, I want to write about my current situation, right? Which is motherhood and being 26 and having these two small kids and not knowing what to do. And so I just started posting on Instagram just as an outlet. But I knew that I wanted the way that I portrayed motherhood to be as authentic as possible, and also to be humorous, because I find a lot of comfort in humor, you know. At the time, because, you know, motherhood was supposed to be this amazing, perfect journey, a lot of people kind of documented the beauty of motherhood, and I get that, but I was interested in the moms who weren't really sure what they were doing. So I just started posting. Then Instagram was just photos. So I would post a photo of like my child, and then I'll write a long caption about how my day had gone. But I just tried to keep it light and humorous. And it was really more for me than anything else. And then I would get such amazing responses. And I was like, okay, you know, that's encouraging. And if someone feels encouraged by this, then sure, I'll just keep going. And then, you know, I just kept posting and people seemed to really like it. And people would, you know, message me and be like, wow, that was so amazing. Like, thank you for sharing that. You know, my child does that too. Or this is how I felt as well. You know, like, I don't feel like I quite have it all together. And that's how it started. And then one day, you know, I started thinking, because of the response I was getting, I started thinking about opening up my page, because maybe someone else or more people will be able to, outside of the people that I know, would be able to benefit from this sort of information, because I know what that would have done for me if there was a resource like that that just shared like, hey, you know, I don't have it all together. I don't really know what I'm doing. Every day I'm just freestyling, but you know, I'm doing the best I can. And so I opened up my Instagram and started sharing, and the response was unbelievable. And the good thing is, because I had, my page had been private for so long, so I used to get like lots of like follow requests just from, you know how it is, people who just want to see what's going on with me, to see his wife or whatever. Because my page had been private for so long, people had just kind of forgotten. So people would only follow me because maybe they had seen the content somewhere, and not just for the gist, you know? So that's how that happened. And then my page just started growing slowly. And where the confidence came in, and that's why I really tried to talk to people about doing things. You build confidence by doing and getting a positive result, and you're like, okay, I can do this. So maybe I can do something else. I can try something else. So to answer your question, sorry, this was such a long answer, but to answer your question, the confidence came by trying and succeeding. Even if it was just like a small, okay, this post did well because people enjoyed this caption. Okay, I'm going to try again, you know, and then moved to videos, and then just started. That's how it started for me. And then it also really came from going back to what I knew built my confidence in the first place, which was affirming myself. And so I became really intentional about what I would say to myself. Right. And honestly, like this whole premium pie thing, it really came to me at the depths.
We're going to talk about this.
At the depths of my despair. And I thought it was hilarious. So I would wake up in the I wake up in the morning. I'm like, I'm a mess. You know, I haven't slept. I look janky. And I'm like, you know what? Still, you know, she's still a premium pie. And it was a joke. And it was something I used to say to myself to feel better. And when people kind of picked up on it, I couldn't believe it. And I would say it, and then even if I don't say it, people say it back to me. So I would even sometimes I wouldn't even put it in the caption or whatever, and people are like, yeah, you know, premium pie. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually a thing. And then people started calling themselves premium pie. But I guess we'll get to that.
Thank you. And I'm actually glad you started talking about this, because one of the things I'm really interested in getting insight from you is demystifying influencing, right? I see you as an OG influencer. You've been doing it for quite some time. And I feel like you're one of the few that does it specifically around lifestyle, right? I think a lot of the influencers are fashion, you know, they're kind of beauty. But I feel like when I think of a lifestyle influencer, I think of you, right? So I want you to talk about, you know, how did you get started in it? But even just the difficulty in it, because to me, I still find it difficult. I don't understand the relationship between brands and influencers. How have you been able to figure that out?
Okay, so great question. So, you know, like I said, I started posting on Instagram just for myself, and I started getting really good feedback just by sharing my story. And so my page then started to grow. People were sharing it. A lot of blogs would repost some of the funny stories I told, or pictures or videos or whatever. And so, you know, I started growing, right? At the time, we didn't really have influencer marketing in Nigeria, but influencer marketing was really becoming a big thing in America. And a lot of people I follow, I've always tended to follow more people in America. And so I would see that this was like becoming a thing. You know, people are talking about like brands and partnerships. I'm like, wow, this is actually a thing. I wonder if, you know, it's going to be a thing here. And it looked like it might be. So I was like, okay, what do I do? I think it's something I want to get in on, because I also wanted to make money. It was all well and good being at home and, you know, having a husband who would do things for me, but I wanted money of my own. And I also felt like while getting all this, you know, great feedback from people was fantastic, there must be a way to monetize this. And even for my confidence, it's important that I know that I can earn. So I was really, I started really thinking about it. I'm like, oh, how are people doing it? And I reached out. I started reaching out to agencies. I just started reaching out to agencies. I'm like, oh, you know, hey, because at the time we had a culture of like it being a thing for celebrities to attend events, right? So we had lots of people who kind of came up by attending events. And I was like, okay, maybe there's a way, like there must be a way. So I just started reaching out to agencies. And a lot of agencies were kind of thinking that as well. Like, oh, you know, we want to get content creators to start coming to events and creating content around events or whatever. But I didn't really have, at the time it was only reserved for the extremely popular, like the society, like the it girls. And I wasn't an it girl. I was just somebody who made people laugh on Instagram, right? So I reached out to a couple of agencies, but one agency gave me an opportunity. It was Redrick PR, Ijoma Balogun, gave me my very first opportunity. And so, you know, what I just sent out emails to all the agencies I could find, like, you know, hi, you know, my name's Nicole Shikwe. This kind of content I do. I don't know if you're interested, you know, if you have any events on the horizon or if you have any brands that might be interested in working. Then I was actually more motherhood focused, because that's the kind of content I was making at the time. The content has evolved. We'll get into that. we'll get into that. So then I was looking specifically at like motherhood-ish type things. And most people didn't respond. But Ijoma did. And she was like, absolutely. Do you know what? I think there's an... Can we say brands on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Please. So I am doing an activation, this huge activation for Shea Moisture. They're coming to Nigeria. It's going to be this big thing. Would you like to come and do some content? I'm like, absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This is great. So just let me know how I can get like the tickets or whatever. She goes, okay. Yeah. So how much would you charge for it? And I was floored. I was just looking for the invite, right? So I was like, well, my team is still working on my rate card. Like, I didn't even know what to say to her. She was like, okay. I think I even came back to her with, this was, it was 2019.
Yeah, I remember when they came.
Yeah, yeah. So it was 2019. So she was like, how much would you charge? And I was like, oh, I can come for like 70K. I was like, well, I'll come for 70. But this was 70K then was still okay.
It was.
I feel like 70K then was maybe like 300K.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right,
which is fair.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say more. Like 450K.
Yeah. I would say so. It was actually.
It was okay.
Everyone has to start somewhere.
Start somewhere.
So I was like, yeah, I'll come. I guess I can come and do. I said I'll do stories and I will do a post and attend the event for 70K. And she was like, okay. You know, I think we have a little bit more in the budget. So, you know, I'll give you 100K. I almost died. So Ijeoma Balogun gave me my first paid opportunity.
Shout out to her.
Yeah. Like I say it everywhere. Like women have done so much for me. Oh, I can think of pivotal moments in my life. My first paycheck was from a woman and she was a young woman as well. Gave me 100,000 naira to come to Share Moisture. And that alone, just, I was like, you know what? This is amazing. So I even walked into Share Moisture. My shoulder was up because I was paid to be here, you know? But I had a good time.
Yeah.
And just by that alone, and the thing is, the reason why I was so interested in going for that was for the exposure and for me to be seen to be at these type of events. Because just having gone, people then started reaching out to me. You know, to say, oh, you know, I saw that you were here and I saw the kind of content you made because it was really like fun and jokey and I was having a good time. And people were like, oh, you know, can you also come for this? And I already had my benchmark of 100,000 naira.
We're now going lower than this
we're
ever.
Not, sorry. Like, Share Moisture. Don't you know they're from America? Like, don't you know they're from America? Pay me 100K.
Minimum.
Do you know what I mean? So that's how that started. But a couple of things, right? When I talk to people about wanting to go into being an influencer or content creation, you actually have to be creating the content first. You have to have something to show. So people reach out to me to be like, oh, you know, I want to start working with brands. I'm like, okay, but where's your page?
Yeah.
You know, oh, my page is still private. No, you know, okay, what content have you done? Well, I haven't really done much, but I know that if I just start working with brands, like I'll be able to know, like Ijeoma was able to do that. And she still had to justify the spend. It's not her money. I had to go on a list with other influencers or content creators or It's Girls or society people who are going to be there. But I had something to show because I had been creating content, engaging content for a long time.
Yeah.
So that is the first way. Just start with whatever you have, and then use that to be able to back up your case when you are reaching out. Because you're going to have to reach out and you're going to have to face rejections. But that yes will come. Especially if you, and you should have something to show for it when it does come.
And now another layer deeper is, and I know this challenge happens even in America, even though every week Business Insider literally has this influencer made $1.3 million this year, $3 million. I mean, they're making serious money,
yes,
right? So this is a two-part question. So number one, do you feel influencers are taken seriously in Nigeria? And number two, are they paid properly?
Do I feel like they're taken seriously? I feel like it's a little bit better now, but we are still not where we need to be in terms of the mindset towards influencers. And it comes, one, I mean, the society at large, but then also I think brands have a long way to go. I don't think we fully understand how important and how impactful it can be. So having worked with brands, you know, for several years now, there are still people who, when I would say, oh, this is my, you ask me for my rate, you ask me, I'll tell you this is how much it is. For what? Is it not a video you're doing? Like, how long is the video? Is it not? It's only 30. Okay, if you want to do, if you are going to do 1 minute, just do 30 seconds. Now, what are you even saying in the video to justify that? So there's still a lot of that. We don't yet have the right people who are in charge, I think, of like marketing for a lot of brands in Nigeria who really understand the impact of influencer marketing. And even the ones who feel like they understand, they can be. I've worked with some really amazing brands who kind of give you like leeway. They can be very limited in what their expectations are, what they, you know, and they try and put that on you. So they will say to you, oh, the brand color is green, so please, in the video, you have to wear green shirt, green shoe. The products, we need to see five. You put five next to you. You have to see it from beginning to the end. It is the most insane thing.
Rigid.
It is so rigid because they're like, yeah, the brand can show. And it's like, it's not even like that. In America, there's some videos you'll see, like, the person will be here. The products will be in the back. Mm. The product will be somewhere in the distance. And maybe they'll just quickly... The video would be about their exercise routine. So let's say it's like a wellness thing, right? The person will go about their whole day, you know, do their stretch, do their morning routine cleanse. And they'll just like, oh, and I quickly just use this supplement, you know, because it just, they'll just grab it, quickly swallow it. And that's the end. And that's their video, you know? Mm. But people don't understand that for it to land, it has to feel like it's an authentic part of your life. I'm not in my house just wearing green shirt, trouser, and shoe. Green.
And so these are logos and colors are horrendous.
It'll be like green, like, and orange together. And like, yeah, you know that it has to show. You have to wear brand color. It is insane. But I'm so grateful that I've now gotten to a place where I can really advocate for myself. I'm like, I'm not gonna wear green and orange and blue and purple together. I can't have eight things beside me. And I just, please let me just do the content in the way that I would normally, because if it's not authentic, it's going to feel forced. And people now, they're like bloodhounds. First 3 seconds, they've seen the video, they're like, ah, this one's selling something.
Yes.
Scroll up, out. They're gone. So just even trying to convince brands, I think that's quite challenging. So yeah, to answer your question, some brands are trying, but I still think we have a long way to go. And then in terms of payment, no. And that's also because it's also reflective of the fact that they still aren't taking it as seriously as they ought to. So yeah, we're still a work in progress with that, absolutely.
So then how do you decide which brands to work with and which not to, especially, is there a framework you have now to make that decision?
Okay, so that has come with time, and that has also come with really knowing myself. When I first started, because I was so eager to make money, I would pretty much work with anybody. I will make it work. It doesn't matter if you sell spare parts, no problem. I can do it. And I'm also evil. That's a problem. I'm like, spare parts. I can't do it.
Imports, exports.
I can't do, there's no one I cannot do. Just call me. And I'm still a little bit like that. I beg, if you need spare parts, I can't do it. I can do it very well. It's not a problem. I will come to where they sell spare parts in Logic Park. I'll come. But it was crazy. There's no one I was not doing, no. But it also, really what I found was by just taking any and every, it was definitely limiting my creativity. And people can tell, man. Like, people...
They can tell.
They can tell. And it doesn't work out for me. It doesn't work out for the brand. It doesn't work out for anybody. Yeah. So, you know, and the thing is, you're under pressure because if you create content and it flops, you know, you still need to justify why someone spent that money on you. And then it's just so what happened was over time, I was like, okay, look, I can't, maybe the spare parts, I'll leave it for now. You know, I just focus on doing things that felt natural to me. So, and the things that felt natural to me for sure were lifestyle, beauty, you know, some fashion, wellness is a big part of my life as well. And yeah, motherhood, but what felt a little bit more natural to me was, you know, the more humorous side of not getting it quite right. I've never really felt comfortable with the motherhood, like the perfection motherhood aesthetic, because it's not who I am. Even when I tried it a couple of times, it didn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
So in trying different things, it was not just what felt right, but also what resonated. Like people, even like my lifestyle is a very particular type of lifestyle. I don't really do, it's not like overly luxury. Like you're not going to see me like, oh, posing in front of G-Wagon, then I'll now do like this. You're not seeing Cartier, Rolex, you know, AP, just slouching them. VCA, all of them. Like I don't, it's not really, and shout out to people who do, amazing job. We love to see it. But I just feel like even when there's some time earlier on, I'll still try and give them more.
So I didn't know.
So it's not like I said they don't know, but even my audience will be like, ah, Nicole, which one is this one? Like, girl, remove this thing from your page. What are you doing? Like, oh, you know, I'm traveling. Oh, you know, I'll just do my passport, my two passports, you know, then my 1A, the tickets will now be, you know how you do it now. So the 1A will show then the juice and champagne. So everybody will know that you're true, you're first in that 1A, first class, you know, like, and then this Nicole, life. Remove it, what's it? So things like that don't really, and honestly, it doesn't even feel like me, right? So it was just in trying things out, and that I encourage people to try different bits of content, see what feels good to you to do, see what your audience resonates with as well. Because there are people out there who love, you know, super, super high glamour, ultra glamorous lifestyle. There's a place for that. I enjoy consuming that kind of content too from time to time. It just didn't really feel like me. So to your question, it came from, I tried out a couple of things, see what landed, see what didn't, saw what felt comfortable. And that kind of started refining my process. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of where I want to stay. And because of that, and because we know that if the content isn't authentic, people aren't going to engage anyway. So these are the parameters within which I should be operating that feel good for me to operate and will get the most engagement as well for me and for the brand.
I know Chika has started her influencer journey as well, but one of the things she said she's not necessarily as comfortable yet in is lifestyle influencing.
Okay.
And I think it comes from trying to find a balance between boundaries and what to share and what not to share. Mm-hmm. How have you managed that? Because obviously some people might think because they see your life on Instagram that you might be too accessible to them. You might be approachable, but finding that balance, because you know Nigerians, they don't respect boundaries too much. So how's that balance for you?
So that's definitely been something that has played on my mind from the beginning. And I'm also very grateful for NATO in this, because boundaries are something that I'm really working on as a person. I give of myself very freely, and I'm happy to share what I was, let me say, in the earlier stages. I really wanted to share as much as possible. Again, I'm just getting started. I'm now getting paid. This is fantastic. I want to share because the way Instagram is set up, the way social media is set up, is like the more you share, the more you get, you know, and you just need to keep feeding the machine.
Yeah.
But NATO was so good in that he's not that kind. I mean, you guys know NATO. He's not
pressed.
We're not doing that. I see that this is something you want to do. I appreciate and I support you in it. However, this is how we're going to do this thing, or it's not going to work. So yes, you want to do motherhood content. We're going to have to see how we're going to do it with the kids. I know it's important to show the kids, but we just need to try and figure that out, because me too, I don't want my kids out there like that. And at the time, I was so upset. how am I going to be a motherhood blogger and I'm not showing my children? How does that make any sense? You're trying to ruin my life, you know? But he was like, well, you're very smart. I'm sure you can figure out a way, but this is something that we have to do for our family. I think it's very important that we set boundaries. And I know boundaries are not your thing. So I'm going to do this for us and we're going to have to figure it out together. So what then would happen is I would share, I could post like photos of my kids from time to time, you know, if I'm sharing something that had to do with me. Mm-hmm. But what Nato and I agreed was that when it's like for a brand, we don't show children's faces. And that's something I've done since 2019 up until now. So if you look at my content, anything that has to do with like kids or whatever, it's just back of heads, hands, because it's going to be on their brand page and whatever. So it's just, so we just kind of manage it like that. So if you'll see a couple of things, if you go and look carefully, you just see, so maybe see like a silhouette of someone running in the background. So, you know, okay, that is a child. Or you see like a small hand grabbing. you see a tiny hand, you're like, okay, that's a child. Yep, there's a child. She must be a mother. Yes, exactly. And we just kept it like that. And it was just the best thing.
It's worked out.
It's worked out so amazing. And in him really being firm on that, it really started to change my mindset because I started to see that I didn't need to do too much with my kids. People already know I'm a mother, right? So if I just be showing a small hand from time to time, that's enough. And it's really helped me set boundaries with brands. So a lot of brands, you know, would say no. I'd say to them, you know, hey, you know, because they'll say, we have this product, you know, one, it'll be you and your kids. I'm like, okay, but is the back of their head, is their leg, is the hand, you know, or they'll be walking out the door. You just see like, you know, is that fine? And a couple of brands are like, no, you know, want to really see you engaging with the kids, want to see them talking and reacting. And I'm like,
no,
I can't do it. But a few people, if you want to work with me, that's just what it is. So that really helped me set boundaries. And when I saw that a boundary could be set and be respected, and it doesn't mean you would hate me. And, you know, they're just small things like that. You're like, okay, I can set a boundary, enforce it, and life would actually go on and I'll still get an optimal result. It's really helped kind of shape that. So that's even like level one with the children. Level two with boundaries was how much, because you would find that the more it's very tempting to share. It's so tempting. I can't lie. Even till now, I still struggle because you would see what people are sharing and, you know, they share something so vulnerable or so intimate and wow, everyone's talking about it. The post goes viral and it's tempting to be like, you know, I really want to give them a little. But what I've also found is, you know, it's just also learning and understanding that this is a job and social media is a machine. This is going to eat you or spit you out. This is your little vulnerable moment you shared. People are going to consume it, dissect it. It's done in 3 minutes. What did you do it for? So just also having that awareness has really, really been helpful for me. I'm very mindful of how I navigate. I don't really share, like, you know, I've explained already, I don't really share too much about my kids. I really did feel like I had to in the beginning because I'm discussing motherhood, but now I don't really feel like I have to. I definitely don't share that much about my marriage, but that's also common sense. That's also just, you know, you have to be mindful about how you move, especially when people also kind of know your husband. And I also try to be careful not to portray, and I hope that people don't think that I have this perfect life and, you know, perfect husband, perfect kids, because I don't share too much. But I mean, obviously I don't, because nothing is perfect, but it's not also, my life isn't really fodder for you to consume. There's something I'm trying to put out there. And what I'm trying to put out there specifically is that you can be a mom and you can still be working towards your passions. You can still be pursuing purpose. You can still be trying to turn that passion into like a profit. You can still explore your creativity. You can still have a life. You can still prioritize wellness. You can still, you know, take care of yourself. You can feel more beautiful as you get older, feel more beautiful as, you know, your body changes. You can learn new things, and your life does not have to begin and end with your children, because that's a lie that has been fed to us. I know that because I've lived it. That's my messaging, and that is what I'm going to be intentional in putting out there. All the other stuff is just a distraction from what it is I'm trying to do. So that's what really helped me set my boundaries.
And I want to transition into this conversation around motherhood, right? Because I know you created this summit, and I believe it was during COVID, right?
Yes.
And so I want you to talk about why you decided to create this motherhood summit, and what does it look like in the future of building this summit out, especially I believe you want to do it in the physical. So,
the reason why I wanted to do this summit in the first place was to have conversation. So what I found with most women and with mothers is that we really learn most from like peer-to-peer conversations. And that's why influencer marketing is so big, because if you're looking like at a mom like you, that's your peer. This is what she's using. Sounds good to me, you know, as opposed to it coming from the brand itself. I wanted to be able to do what I had been doing on Instagram, just kind of sharing stories and sharing resources. But I wanted to get people together. So it wasn't actually meant to be a digital conference. It was actually always meant to be a physical conference. And again, you know, having built quite a large community online, I really thought it would be a great opportunity to interface, you know, with these people who have supported me, because I've only come this far because I've had the community supporting me and engaging. So I was like, okay, this is a perfect opportunity. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be some amazing women, and we're all going to share, right? And everyone's going to learn from it. It's going to be beautiful. So I start planning in 2019. Of course, I pick my dates. My date's going to be April 2020. Fabulous. I paid a deposit for the event center. Everything is just flowing. Everything's banging. And then, you know, around December, people are talking about this COVID thing, but it was in China, you know. And it's so funny. I remember Naso asking me, are you worried about this COVID thing? I was like, no, it's in China that they said it is. Now, it's not really... Maybe we'll get to America, but I mean, of course, like it's not going to. What are you doing in Nigeria? Lo and behold, March 6th, Lagos City goes into lockdown for the foreseeable future. My event was slated for April 3rd. I said, I'm finished. I was thinking about, I paid vendors, I paid for the venue, I paid, you know, and I was paying all these things out of pocket because, I was getting sponsorship, right? But as you know, sponsorship money tends to come in a little bit later. So I'm like, yeah, this person's committed, that person's committed. You know, we've done like a draft or a contract, whatever. Got so let me just go ahead and pay. And then I'll get my money later. March 6th, Lagos went into lockdown. All the brands, you know, and I'll start messaging them like, okay, guys, you know, so... don't panic, because I'm sure it's going to be like a month max, you know, because it's fine. This has never happened. Like it's going to be fine. So we'll probably just, you know, postpone till like May. And the brands were like, yeah, you know, unfortunately, everything's on hold for now. Like all our marketing, like plans and budgets and everything shut down. Everybody's shutting down everything. So we'll see you when we see you. That's how I lost all that money. Who am I going to ask for a refund? The venue? The venue said, no, don't worry. We'll hold the money for you when you're ready. When you're ready, come back. Don't you have anybody that can be getting married in the near future so you can tell them to take the date and then you collect the money from them? I was like, when we start looking for people who are getting married, to be like, oh.
Like, this Nigerian. Like, they told you to matchmaker like that.
I was really thinking about it, because I'm like, how do I know that can be wedding? So at least I'm even close to getting engaged. I'm like, you guys, what are you waiting for? So I was like,
man, this country, man.
That's what the venue told me. Till now, the venue still has my money.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you.
But I have it 5 years later.
But so. They said, find somebody. Find someone to wear. Don't you know anybody doing celebration of life, something? Ha, God, I beg. So that's how all that money went. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? But then a lot of people were announcing that they were, a lot of people were doing like more online things and whatever.
Pivoting.
And like, yeah, pivoting. And I was like, okay, maybe this is something I could do, because once I set my mind to something, it's getting done regardless, right? And then I also wanted to see if I could still get some money from the sponsors. So like, oh, you know, hey, you know, we're kind of pivoting to
online,
but that's where the world is going now. You know, I was like, that's where the world is going now. That in fact, now we can do, it's global. It's now a global online. Event. it's now a global event. We now have so many more people, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was able to sell it to the sponsors and they were like, okay, well, would give you something. It'll be substantially less, obviously, because it's not a physical event. It's just going to be on Zoom, right? So it's not going to be big event money, but we'll support. And I still got, you know, a couple of sponsors to support. So we did that and it was amazing. We had about 2,000 women, 18 countries. It was fabulous. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to do this again next year, because we're still not doing big gatherings, even though the lockdown had lifted. Yeah, so I did it again in 2021, even bigger. So that was fantastic. And then the next year, I wanted to do it again. And the sponsors were like, hey, it's 2022. It's going to have to be physical. We're not paying for you to do any online events again. And I was so scared, because now, you know, I now changed the structure of how the summit went, and, you know, I was able to have speakers from all around the world. It wasn't just, it didn't have to be focused physical on Nigeria. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be focused on women like that were in Lagos or could come into Lagos, you know? And it just seemed so, it seemed very difficult. And so it was something that I just kind of put to the back for a while. But, you know, this year, we're committed to doing it. So we're finally going to have our first physical event. I'm going to announce a little bit closer to the time when, you know, the dates and everything.
And the same venue?
There it's not going to be the same venue. They're very foolish. they are very foolish. So no, it's not going to be at the same venue. So that's hilarious, actually. It's not going to be at the same venue.
Money has
not
always stayed.
So the money has always shall now go.
And you've beat inflation too, because I'm sure to rent that venue is not the same right now.
Yeah, but I hadn't paid in full. So true. We'll see. But I'm not even interested in that venue. They're very foolish. They should go away. I have a better venue now. So yeah, but I'm very, very excited about that. I think it's so important when, and the thing I like about, the main reason why I wanted to put the summit together as well was, yes, it's good for women to get together and talk and share. It's very impactful. But I've also found that a lot of these things centered around women, in my own opinion, are not very solutions driven. So we'll come together, we'll talk, we'll share, we'll cry. It's beautiful. And we go home feeling, you know, heard, which is also very important. But then I'm also interested in people leaving with practical tools that they can apply and start working on today to improve whatever facet of motherhood that they may be struggling with.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about, what's the one thing you want people to know about Nicole Chikwe?
Oh, yes, it looks like I do a lot of things, but I do a lot of things afraid, but I'm doing it anyway. If I can do all this and there's still fear, like, you can do it too. And that is one of the things I'm trying to be a little bit more intentional about putting out now, because I think I came from this place of utter despair and hopelessness, and I really transitioned into this really confident, which I really am. And again, like a lot of the confidence has come from doing things, and I will try things and it would work. And I'm like, okay, I'm competent. I can do this. I'm smart. And I try things. It doesn't work. And that's fine. But I try things, but I'm still trying it afraid. So yes. So I've now come from this place of utter despair, confidence. And I think it appears to people that I just have everything all together and everything I'm doing is so intentional. I'm just hitting the mark every time and I'm just, you know, doing this and doing that. And it might appear so, but I'm doing a lot of these things. I'm still doing it afraid. I'm still trying to figure it out, but I wouldn't know until I try. And I just think it's important to keep trying. I think it's important to use, like I said in the beginning, I'm trying to use up everything, every gift that I know that I have. And I have a lot of gifts, as many people do. But I'm trying to use them up. And it's so funny about gifts and talents. Like if we even talk about scripture, like it's like the more you use, the more it emerges. And so that's how I've now found myself doing different things, because I keep trying to use up my gifts, but I'm still doing it from a place of fear. So don't look at me and think, oh, you know, because I get lots of messages from young women in particular, like, how are you doing this? You know, you're so confident. It just seems like you have it together. I'm just trying my best.
Mm-hmm. And what's the next mountain you want to climb?
Great question. I think if I could just do this summit, finally, like I had intended, like I had planned 5 years ago, that would be such a big thing for me, that I was actually able to do it the way it was placed in my heart to do initially. That is the next thing I'm trying to do for sure.
Well, I can't wait to support you. And the question I want to ask lastly, because we ask every guest this, is who do you want to see on the Afropolitan podcast? Whose story do you want to see?
Do you follow this lady, Anita Osuoha, Real Worry Pekin?
Yeah, I know her.
I would love to see her on this podcast. So a couple of months ago, I don't know if you follow her, you know, she's very humorous. Yeah. You know, just like a worry babe, mm-hmm. jokes. She's so funny. On World Suicide Prevention Day, she shared a story about how she attempted to take her own life. She was in the pits of despair. You know, she had tried to go into a business. It didn't work out. And, you know, because of that, she was just completely, she just felt there's no way out. And actually attempted. And this is a mom. She's a comedian, a mom. She has 3 kids. And for her to have gotten to that place and found her way out to keep doing what she's doing, even like at a bigger scale and still putting smiles on people's faces, I love that. I would want to hear that story. Mm. I would love, that is a story. Like, I would, what if it's 3 hours, I'll watch every second of it. I think I think it's such an important story. Especially I love hearing stories of people coming out of like their lowest points, you know, and this was like a huge financial issue and this and that. And that's who I would like to see.
Thank you.
I think it would be like a nice change of pace as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, those are stories. I think I love to hear from different perspectives, different like walks of life. And I think that she has a fascinating story to tell and she's doing such an amazing job. I really, really like and admire her. So,
thank
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us, Nicole, for being vulnerable, for being raw. And I know a lot of people are going to identify with your story.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. And guys, like, this was amazing. This was amazing. I've done a few interviews and stuff and I'm just trying to get through. But this was really, really amazing. Thank you. Such a great change of pace. And some of the questions. So just disclaimer, you know, I had even asked to have like an idea of what the questions would be, but I didn't even look at it. I was like, you know, I don't even want to look at it. I just want to come in here blind so I can give just raw, unfiltered answers, which is why like question 1, I was like, ha. So this is good. It was amazing.
Please. Thank you for
I
coming.
Can't wait. I can't. Thank you for having
thank
me.
You.
Please, I'll be back. Maybe next season. Yeah, next season, I'll change up the hair. And I'll be like, yeah. So I still have more to
What's
say.
What's the name of the summit, though?
The Mommy Summit.
The Mommy Summit.
The Mommy Summit. Yeah.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.